The librarian leaned cautiously over the top of the bookcase and unfolded an arm into the darkness. There it was. His thick fingernails grasped the spine of the book, pulled it gently from its shelf and hoisted it up. He raised the lantern carefully. No doubt about it. The Summoning of Dragons. Single copy, first edition, slightly foxed and extremely dragoned. He set the lamp down beside him and began to read the first page. Said Vimes, waking up.
"Brung you a nice cup of tea, Captain," said Sergeant Colon, "and a figgin."
Vimes looked at him blankly.
"You've been asleep," said Sergeant Colon helpfully. "You was spark out when Carrot brought you back."
Vimes looked around at the now familiar surroundings of the yard.
"Oh," he said.
"Me and Nobby have been doing some detectoring," said Colon. "You know that house that got melted? Well, no one lives there. It's just rooms that get hired out. So we found out who hires them. There's a caretaker who goes along every night to put the chairs away and lock up. He wasn't half creating about it being burned down. You know what caretakers are like?"
He stood back, waiting for the applause.
"Well done," said Vimes dutifully, dunking the figgin into the tea. "There's three societies use it," said Colon. He extracted his notebook. "To wit, viz, the Ankh-Morpork Fine Art Appreciation Society, the Morpork Folk Dance and Song Club, and the Elucidated Brethren of the Ebon Knight."
"Why," said Vimes.
"Well, you know, fine art. It's just men painting pictures of young women in the nude. They all together,"
explained Colon, the connoisseur.
"The caretaker told me some of them don't even have any paint on their brushes, you know. Shameful."
"There must be a million stories in the Naked City," thought Vimes, "so why do I always have to listen to ones like these?"
"When do they meet?" he said. "Monday, 7:30, admission 10 pence, said Colon promptly. "As for the folk dance people, well, no problem there. You know you always wondered what Corporal Nobbs does on his evenings off?"
Colon's face split into a watermelon grin.
"No," said Vimes incredulously. "Not Nobby."
"Yep," said Colon, delighted at the result.
"What? Jumping about with bells on and waving his hanky in the air?"
"He says it's important to preserve old folkways," said Colon.
"Nobby, Mr. Steel Toecaps in the groin, I was just checking the door handle and it opened all by itself."
"Yeah, funny old world, ain't it?
He was very bashful about it."
"Good grief," said Vimes.
"It just goes to show you never can tell," said Colon. "Anyway, the caretaker said the Elucidated Brethren always leave the place in a mess. Scuffed chalk marks on the floor, he said. And they never put the chairs back properly or wash out the tea urn. They've been meeting a lot lately, he said. The nudie women painters had to meet somewhere else last week."
"What did you do with our suspect?" said Vimes.
"Him? Oh, he'd done a runner, Captain," said the sergeant, looking embarrassed.
"Why? He didn't look in shape to run anywhere."
"Well, when we got back here, we sat him down by the fire and wrapped him up because he kept on shivering," said Sergeant Colon, as Vimes buckled his armour on.
"I hope you didn't eat his pizzas."
"Errol ate 'em. It's the cheese, see? It goes all..."
"Go on."
"Well," said Colon awkwardly, "he kept on shivering sort of thing, and groaning on about dragons and that. We felt sorry for him, to tell the truth. And then he jumps up and runs out the door for no reason at all."
Vimes glanced at the sergeant's big, open, dishonest face.
"No reason?" he prompted. "Well, we decided to have a bite, so I sent Nobby out to the baker's, see. And, well, we thought the prisoner ought to have something to eat."
"Yes," said Vimes encouragingly.
"Well, when Nobby asked him if he wanted his figgin toasted, he just gave a scream and ran off."
"Just that?" said Vimes.
"You didn't threaten him in any way?"
"Straight up, Captain. Bit of a mystery, if you ask me. He kept going on about someone called Supreme Grand Master."
Vimes glanced out of the window. Grey fog lagged the world with dim light.
"What time is it?" he said.
5 o'clock, sir."
"Right. Well, before it gets dark..."
Colon gave a cough.
"In the morning, sir. This is tomorrow, sir."
"You let me sleep all day?"
"Didn't have the heart to wake you up, sir. No dragon activity, if that's what you're thinking. Dead quiet all round, in fact."
Vimes glared at him and threw the window open. The fog rolled in a slow, yellow-edged waterfall.
"We reckon it must have flown away," said Colon's voice behind him.
Vimes stared up into the heavy rolling clouds.
"Hope it clears up for the coronation,"
Colon went on in a worried voice.
You all right, sir?
It hasn't flown away, Vimes thought. Why should it fly away? We can't hurt it, and it's got everything it wants right here. It's up there somewhere.
You all right, sir?
Colon repeated. It's got to be up high somewhere in the fog. There's all kinds of towers and things.
What time's the coronation, Sergeant? He said.
Noon, sir, and Mr. Wants has sent a message about how you're to be in your best armour among all the civic leaders, sir.
Oh, has he?
And Sergeant Hummock and the day squad will be lining the route, sir.
What with? Said Vimes, vaguely watching the skies.
Sorry, sir?